This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
This is The Potty with Serene
and Pearl.
Get it right, P-O-D-D-Y.
Hey kids, it's the Trim Healthy Podcast, and today's going to be epic because we have Esther Allison with us today, who I could be cast as Pocahontas, in my opinion. But she wrote a great book.
That's what my daughter said.
She wrote a great book. It's called...
No, but, pause.
Okay. You know
pause.
What? You know what? I'm out.
No, you keep back here, you overconfident man. Listen, I just wanted to just interrupt, and that's my job. Okay, you ready to interrupt? Guess what?
Oh, God. Okay.
Her little girl, when she saw Pocahontas, like at Walmart, on
a music video, but
she should spot detail. Like, who cares, right?
Who cares?
Let it just be at Walmart.
Esther,
on a.
This is her podcast.
On a bathrobe. Anyway, she's like, "Mommy."
Oh, that's precious. Yes. Okay, so I need to get details just for everyone. So we have Esther in the building for us, Serene's daughter-in-law, author of Trim Healthy Indulgence, my niece, Arden's wife, Gweffy's mom. Okay. So
Gweffy,
okay, she
her
had
name
never
is Gethsemane,
seen.
Just yes. So you know, it's not Gweffy. She is a good name picker.
So let me set this straight because this is too good.
You're like, don't worry. It's nothing super unique and like the only one named this ever in the world. It's Gethsemane.
Well, no, but
at least it's common and like most Christians should know what it is. If they don't, I'm a little concerned about their...
Yeah, their, let's judge them.
Yes, exactly.
No, but Gwethi is a little strange.
But that's
There's
way
no
off.
Pretty lilt to Gwethi, but
Gethsemane
Serena,
can I bring this back to because yes. This is very important for my mind. So your daughter had never seen Pocahontas,
no,
the movie.
Never.
She sees it on the title cover page of a, what would she see it on?
It was a music video.
A music video. And she says, Mommy?
Yes, she did.
Oh, no, that's amazing because it's so true.
I know. Because Esther, you are from China.
That makes me cry.
Right? But you don't actually look 100% Chinese.
No. Most people guess such random things. I
Native American.
She could be Native American.
Listen, I thought Filipino, which was
really
yes.
No.
Yes.
I could do also... where's that?
Vietnam.
Yes.
Native American.
I could do Native American. I could do Pakistani. I could do a little cross with an Indian. Not Indian American. I mean, you could have a little.
You're too tall for a lot of those places because
you're too tall for Chinese.
That's true.
Unless you go up north.
But you're from north, right?
Yes.
What's that? She's
beautiful.
You're from north, though,
yes,
right?
Yes, I'm from up north.
Yeah. So can we just see Esther's here and this is her like debut to people here listening and going to read her book, prayerfully.
Yeah, a lot of them have it.
Because her baking is amazing. What?
Could it be okay if we acknowledge that my cushion is just more worn?
He's worried because Esther is taller and sitting next to
him. Or if we're being completely honest, my torso is longer.
Yeah, if you guys stand up, are you back to back?
We can't have guests
I'm
with long
sure
torsos.
I'm taller than him.
How tall are you, Esther?
5'8".
5'8".
Nah.
Danny, how
what
tall
are you? Stand up,
you taller
you?
Than me.
Danny, with your hair, your hair gives you 2 inches.
Not even counting hair, I'm almost 5'11".
Oh,
okay, stand up. That means you're taller than me.
I'm just saying I'm 5'10".
Okay. That means you're taller than me because I'm 5'9". Let's do this.
Oh, yeah. You're way taller.
Oh, you're taller, Dan. You are.
You're good 3 or 4 inches.
That means your legs.
Look, he's got a little torso. I can see that now. It's cute.
Okay, so it is just
I have
torso.
A petite torso?
Yeah. Now, don't use the word petite with you. You don't need to do that anymore. It's just that you've got nice long legs. Good for you.
Long legs
Danny
and small
long legs.
Torso.
Yeah, Danny long legs.
Okay, so I wanted to say, just quickly, if we're debuting her here, your story, like you were adopted. And your parents came over to adopt you, right? And it took...
No, not really. They were in China to finish my dad's business degree.
Oh, okay. And then they met you.
And then they met me. They were planning to stay like 7 months. And then they met me. And
how old were you at the time?
I was a week old when my mother first met me.
How did they meet you?
China had programs where you could feed the brand new babies who were brought in. And so my mother ended up feeding me.
And fell in
love. A week old, yes.
I'm sorry, I must be emotional.
They didn't have any of their own children at this point. No biologicals
no.
at all.
No.
How old
no
was your mom? How long were they married? Excuse me while I cry.
She was married. They were married in June of 96. And so this would have been like October of 97.
Oh, so she was a young married woman yes. in China and she went to feed the babies yep. and she fed you.
Yes.
And she said, she is mine. She's ours.
Not quite. She thought I was a beautiful baby. And then another one of their friends, you were also allowed to foster care
okay.
temporarily then. And so another one of our church friends, homeschool friends, was brought home to the, with them, but they said, hey, to my parents, can you please take care of Esther I was called Rose initially on the weekends because we want to do our own family yes. stuff so we'll take care of the week. You take care of her for the weekend. So I was their weekend baby.
Oh. And for how long were you their weekend baby?
I can't remember.
I want a weekend baby.
But like till one?
No, because, it must have only, okay, I think it was only around a month now that I think about that. Yeah. Because I know I was with my parents since I was 6 weeks old.
Yes.
So it was probably just around a month because they had to rush back to the States for a family emergency. So they said, bring Rose back to the hospital or back to the orphanage. And my mom was like, no, that's not happening.
Okay. Yeah. So that's how they found me. She got so attached.
And then
so how old were you when you got adopted by your parents?
9. Legally 9.
What? But they were, but you officially with them, not just weekend baby. No.
From around, I was like a little over a month old. So that's all I remember.
Yes. And they stayed in China to complete that adoption.
Yes. Them and my brother, for me and my brother Joseph.
So they had other babies, but they waited there for you to complete. Oh, wow.
For Joseph and I, yeah.
And you must feel loved. Wow.
Yes.
And so how many, I know that your parents went on to have lots of children biologically,
yes,
right?
They have six biological children and 6 adopted children. Wow. So there's a dozen of us.
And you're the first.
Yes.
So what a
and
story.
She knows she's the first too.
Yeah, she does.
All those siblings are in fear of Esther. Good, healthy way.
A holy fear.
Healthy way.
Holy fear. Oh man, that's good.
Yeah, it's a good story.
Danny, we didn't let you finish your introduction.
Go for it.
So
go for it,
you
Dan.
Can finish now.
Introduce Esther.
With us today is Esther Allison talking about her new book, Trim Healthy Indulgence, The Art of a Masterful Dessert. Man, that's good. You know, sometimes people equate healthy dessert with sort of like compromise. And I think that is a perfect subtitle because I've had your desserts desserts and
they
your desserts.
Pretty.
I've had all of
were not pretty.
Yours desserts, and they're masterful. No, I'm saying masterful.
No. Esther is a step above Pearl and I, many steps above.
No, hold on. Let's say, let's be real here on this podcast. Esther would probably, if she was, because her baking is a whole different thing from Serena and I, to slap something in a 9x13 and give it a topping. And say, hey, that's pretty good.
I may not give it a topic.
She may not.
That's your style.
I did kind of better in the dessert department than you.
Oh, way.
I got kind of close. But
just trimmy bisques.
Yeah.
But, yuck yums.
But people were happy, like it, you know. I mean, I did the Trimtastic and that became a favorite. But then, you know, Esther, I mean, it's proper stuff. Let's just put it that way. It's proper stuff. Ours is kind of getting getting close and good enough, but it's
she's like cooking show kind
of. And I want to go back to a little bit more of Esther's history too. But while we're just, you know, going straight to this book, I want to say Esther doesn't cut corners either, because Pearl and I, we're like, okay, well, we want to make this lighter.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'll try and even make it lighter the next time we make it.
Because we want to eat it every single day,
yes.
Right?
But Esther's like, no, don't eat it every single day. But when you eat it, enjoy it. So
make
I'm not
sure
cutting corners.
Right.
So in that book, there's no corners cut. You're eating the luscious stuff of life.
Yeah. And I would call it, like, I'm going to let you talk, Esther, we are. But would you call it, what kind of bake? It's traditional baking. Would you call it like that?
It's more your classic baking.
Yeah,
classic. Also, to clarify, I did not title the book. I'm not that full of myself.
Trim Healthy Indulgence, yeah. the art of a masterful.
I did not do that. That was
full.
Not me.
We have the confidence in her. And so Pearl.
No, we knew because a lot of people would come on our groups and they would say, hey, I'm a baker, right? I've baked for 30 years. And they would try Serena my desserts and they would say, you know, this is just not what I'm used to. And then so when Esther started baking, you know, she started making desserts for our cafe. She started making that. We tell the story in our book. And they were just so different to what Serena and I made. They were classic. They were the thing. They were the real thing. And that's so hard to do when you are using gluten-free flours.
You could put the real thing next to her stuff.
Yeah.
And there'd be no way that people could tell which one was healthy.
And so we realized we need proper baking in our world, and we need to, you know, present this as a way that you don't have to be subpar.
No.
And so that's where Esther came in.
Well, let me tell you where she came in to my life. Okay. So Esther, apparently their parents got the magazine, our mom's magazine, Above Rubies, over there in China. Mm-hmm. So Esther grew up reading the magazine and kind of watching all of those Hilltop cousins grow up in the magazine.
Yeah.
And she had this dream of, as a little girl, that she would love to go and intern at the Above Rubies.
You had that dream. I did not know that.
Yeah, literally. You can see in my homework paper, like, what are my goals for my future?
Really?
Yes.
So she comes. And I walk upstairs. I was actually pregnant with Remy. And I walk upstairs. I was so nauseated upstairs to my parents' house, and they were going to host us for dinner. And I was so sick, I couldn't even like cook dinners at the time. And so mom's like, come over. So I walked upstairs and I was just so nauseated. All I could do was like kind of look at the floor. And then I saw this Pocahontas in the kitchen. And I'm like, who is this? Like I immediately was just like, wow, this girl is beautiful. And then she was helping my mom cook. So she wasn't just like doing the office work and interning. She was actually going above and beyond and like helping my mom. And that doesn't always happen. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, wow, this girl is really amazing. And by the end of that first dinner, I had chosen her.
You had an arranged marriage.
Yeah, basically I was like, so I got in the car. And I said to Sam, did you see that girl? And he's like, yes. And Arden got in the car and we said, Arden, you'll be a fool if you don't chase her down.
He'd already decided.
And he said, don't worry, Mom and Dad, my sight's already set. So it was like my son, he used to haul water for us, and we'd get it from Nan and Granite's house because they were closer to the spring. And so he came and he would haul water and visit Esther. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden he had all kinds of jobs that he needed to do.
Yeah,
Nana and Granddad. Anyway, back to the.
Yeah, so.
I just wanted to tell you how she became Esther Allison.
Right. And so eventually they got married and had a baby. But we need to let you talk, Esther. So, you know, now a lot of people already have your book because they pre-ordered and they've been making it right from the digital copy, but now the hard copy is available. And, you know, I'm a hard copy person of any book.
Me too.
I don't like digital book. I want something in my hands. I'm just like old school.
I need it like almost like a study guide. Yeah. Like I don't just like, I'm the concept of an audiobook is great. I'm like, that's so much more convenient that I always think I want an audiobook, but when I go to place the order, I get the paperback or hardcover.
I like something I can put my prints on and almost make personal and kind of
claim
it.
Yeah. Because you got to go reference. You got to go back and be like, wait, on page, what was that? And you sort of memorize like where
and
it is
love,
in the book.
Touching the each page with love. So Esther, you know, we've gone on and on because that's what we do. But just you tell us a little bit about your book. For those listening who may not have it, so many people already have ordered it. But, you know, we've got new listeners all the time. So, what I'm saying is you can talk.
You know, tell us maybe why you wanted to write the book, because, you know, we came to you and said we would love a real baker to pull this off. But you said yes. So,
Well, I have
always...
Should
I take over, by the way?
No.
Are we good?
We're good.
All right, go ahead, Esther.
I've always been somewhat familiar with free-from baking, because like I explained in my book, one of my siblings had a dairy, gluten, egg, and sugar allergy as a child, which is difficult, needless to say. And so my mother did a lot of experimenting. I, being a child, I helped her along in the kitchen, did what I could, this is and that. And then she grew out of it, which is wonderful. So that's great. We don't have to deal with that anymore because it's really high maintenance.
She just woke up sneezing. I mean,
I think it's, my husband has a theory. He's read about it. He says everything resets after 10 years or so.
That's interesting.
And it actually would make sense.
I can go with that.
Because that's probably, that's around the time when she started like between 8 to 10 years that she could start eating things again.
I had like life-altering medical problems for like 5 years of my life once, and now they're gone.
Yeah. Now, when you say freeform, just to get a full understanding, you're saying because you could not follow any normal recipe because there were too many allergens in it.
Right.
So freeform meant you had to just...
Especially because we were in China. So yeah. The access you had to your average American products, which were, even though it wasn't as good of a selection as it is now, in China, there was almost none of them.
Right.
Yes. So we would actually, we had some family members in the US that would send over like bulk bags of like xanthan gum and whatever, you know, some other flowers, gluten-free flowers.
So you were familiar with playing with these from a little girl, really?
Yes.
So probably way before any of us, were doing it.
So yeah, we learned, I grew up on those energy balls and all sorts of things my mom made for my little sister.
But you then developed severe, not sensitivity or allergy to gluten, right?
And yes, sugar. As a teenager, then I started getting migraines really, really, really frequently, and I couldn't figure out what was going on. My mom said, because she's familiar with it, she's like, well, you know, try taking out gluten and sugar and see what happens. I did, and they vanished.
Yeah.
Wow.
So,
like instantly?
Pretty much. Like, wow. I stopped getting them. I couldn't pinpoint why I was getting them almost daily.
Yeah.
And because I also get a visual aura with them, it makes it even more miserable.
What kind of visual aura?
You can't see. Everything shakes. Like, it's like zigzags of...
I've had that
it's like
glass.
It's almost weird. Like shards of glass that are...
And it's
from, like from a Marvel movie, honestly. It's so creepy.
It's like an allergic reaction.
It just comes with the migraine. It's a
It's a migraine
thing. Okay. It's a migraine
thing. So even to this day, right, if you gluten yourself, you get a
last time I tried, yes. I don't plan to try anytime soon.
But it'll trigger
But she can she can have my cultured artisan bread.
Ancient grains I don't have problem with. I can't have sprouted grains, but I can have I can't have your average sprouted wheat or anything
because
like that.
Because those sprouted breads have still got the normal wheat.
Right. But I can have spelt. I can have rye.
Kamut.
Yeah, I can have kamut. So those are all, it's been really nice finding those because at least
so you're
I
not
can,
celiac.
You no,
are
I'm
just
not celiac.
Sensitive to gluten and sugar, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
So between the pain and the aura, which easily could knock me out for a full day, I quickly was like, nope, I'm not doing this anymore, which was pretty impressive because I love my carbs with a passion and my sweets.
Yeah. No, can I just, I got to say this. She loves her carbs with a passion, capital P. Like when we go to a restaurant, and she sees those white rolls.
Really?
She at least has to tactile enjoy them.
What,
so she holds them and like squeeze them. Like, you know, like if I can't taste them in my mouth and the texture in my mouth, at least.
Those are only the white squishy ones from like O'Charlie's or something like that. Yeah. If it's good Italian bread, I'll just gaze on it lovingly. I won't defile it by squishing
it. And when we were in Mexico, you know, Arden and Esther came and joined us. We had the most fabulous time. But she would be like, can somebody order the pasta?
Yes,
and we're like, nobody wants pasta tonight. She goes, somebody order it. She just wants to enjoy it vicariously. She wants to sniff it. She wants to eye it. She wants to.
You like the idea of pasta.
Oh, I love pasta. And
you can do other forms. Like,
yeah, so I do brown rice pasta. Yeah. I do like in this proper serving size and quantities. I mean, it's hard because I could eat three bowls of it all the same, but we're limiting it down to what I'm supposed to be eating.
So when you said proper serving size and blah, 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 blah. So just to make it clear, Esther's book is a book of celebration.
Yes.
She doesn't cut corners with any of the calories. But on your day-to-day, you eat very lean.
I try to anyway. It doesn't always work that way, but I definitely try to. As I said, I love my carbs. And
But you eat a lot of healthy e-meals and crossovers,
yes,
right?
Very much so. A lot of e-meals. And I really enjoy them.
Is your main motivation for lean still the allergic stuff you struggled with? Or is
Why now? No, it's sort of shifted. I am trying to just stay healthy, stay strong, get toned, that kind of thing. And it just works more in my lifestyle at this point, especially working. I'm working out with my husband and it's been really fun.
Yeah.
But doing that, you need to be fueled and you need carbs for that. Mm-hmm. So I've actually more started eating carbs after working out.
Okay.
And then I tried to raise my step count because I'm the type of girl who sits inside all day with a book, which is great. But sometimes it's also good to go outside and get some vitamin D.
So you're super conscious of health to working out and how it's affecting you.
And that is partly my husband's influence due to his journey with cancer, which we'll talk about.
Okay.
He's definitely pressured, or not pressured, but that gentle pressure, the one that's good for you.
Mm.
It's like, hey, come on, do this with me. And it's fun to be able to do something together. We have very opposite personalities.
Yeah.
And we don't have a lot of hobbies we enjoy together.
Yeah.
So here's one of them.
Yeah.
No, but I do have to say though, looking at Esther, you know, we have a similar journey in this because I'm the same sort of, I'm that girl too, that would just be inside a book all day. That's the way I grew up. I never, ever felt the urge to be physical. People would go swimming pool. Not me. Why are they even doing that? I never did exercise until I was like, my voice is a bit raspy.
No, I was just up in the mic like a big sister.
Like Serene was like a natural athlete and she was like competing at school and running races and things like that. Yeah, you were. And you were
better
swimming.
Better memory than me.
No, you did. And you always wanted to run and all this. And so my other sister, not me, I just thought, ugh, like, ugh, U-G-G-H. Like exclamation
I had
mark.
The same opinion as a child and until, teenager, even a young adult.
And so you don't have to be naturally inclined to it because, you know, I've watched you, Esther, and now you, it's become a part of your life, which it became a part of mine too. And now I feel like it's a part
I
of my identity.
But we weren't here like today. That. She walked here today, people. And I do want to say this. It's not just a part of her life. It's a part of her life with a capital P. I like to put capitals there. Yeah.
With a capital P. Life it has an L. At the
no, part.
Part.
Oh.
get with the capitals.
Hey, you're listening to The Party with Serene and Pearl, and I'm Pearl, and who are you?
I'm Serene.
This is The Party with Serene
and Pearl.
Get it right. It's P-O-D-D-Y.
I've gone on a couple of walks with Esther, and it's not the girl that has just got excited about walking. She walks like the place is going to get blown up if she doesn't walk fast enough. She walks with a purpose. Like it's hard to keep up with her.
Another capital P.
But do you love this new part of yourself that you've discovered?
Yes, I actually really do. I've really started to appreciate my walks as much as I never liked them before. And I did have to get myself to do it. It was a lot of motivation saying, no, you have to get over this, get over what you like and don't like. You're going to do it because you know it's good for you. My husband does cold plunges, which is where you stay for 3 minutes in a freezing cold water. Yeah. Yep. I'm just, for everyone who doesn't know cold plunges, you haven't been there yet.
Yeah.
Oh, you have?
Oh, yeah.
He did one. Again. Yeah.
You did one with the Hilltoppers?
No. He did one, remember, on his
I want to do one out. Are you guys doing one in the creek?
Second day.
Can I be invited?
Yes.
Tell Arden he's got my number.
You. Yes, he will have
I'm
you come.
In. Okay.
Sometimes they stay 10 minutes.
Actually, Arden found out that wasn't what they were supposed to be doing.
Yeah.
If they're to gain muscle. And so all these guys were ready to kill him because they've been sitting in there 40 minutes a week when they're supposed to only be doing it 10 minutes total. But anyway.
I'm so in.
That's smart.
I'll tell
Arden. It's already yes.
Anyway. So he's been getting me into that mindset as cold plunges aren't good for women and their body. I'm using that same mentality. You don't want to do it, but it doesn't matter. You do it because you know it's good for you and you know it has health benefits. So why are you waiting around for it?
You're talking cold plunges though?
No, in this case for me, walking because cold plunges
aren't
good for women.
And then can I say that? Yeah. But as you at first, you know, at first there's things that we kind of make ourselves do, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I think they'll never last unless we develop a love for them. And so I feel like it comes, yeah?
It does come. I think I also have a lot of self-discipline in that way. Yeah. So even when I like, but I will say I do love them. And even yesterday, my husband was watching a movie. The baby was asleep. And I was like, you know, I could sit here, watch the movie. Or I could go be a good girl and go do my walk. And so I went out and did my walk. Yeah. And it was like at 5 o'clock. I could have stayed inside.
Right.
And the day was technically done. It was a Sunday, no less. You know, might as well relax.
And I think love comes in different ways because, Serene, you always tell me I love to do my workout. Well, I don't feel that way.
Like, yeah,
when I think about going to do the workout, I do not feel any form of love. However, I love what it does for me. I love it as part of my identity. I love the way my body feels. I love everything it brings me. Just apart from doing it.
So. Yes. Exactly. It doesn't have to be loving the actual thing itself.
Belling, back to
Esther's
life and book and all of that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So you've mentioned your husband here and there and you know, you mentioned cancer. Do you wanna share? That is a powerful testimony,
it is.
Esther. And so and actually I do wanna say this book is a celebration of life, really. You know, Arden was in the midst of a stem cell transplant, which is only you'll be able to describe. And she was doing that book through the process.
Well, and you know, and we'll let her talk, but I worked with Esther during that book, you know, a lot. And you know, books don't take a short time. They take several years.
True.
And some of it was during the most grueling times that they went through with Arden, I think. And, you know, I watched Esther do this and I watched it and I just, to me, the whole book journey, her pouring her love into this, keeping such an outlook of perseverance with God, of looking at God's love, of looking at his blessing throughout this was amazing. And this book, to me, it is like the triumph of a soul. You know, I've been brought to tears many times. Privately, I think just knowing what she was going through and that knowing what she was giving. And I'm sure it was a distraction too, Esther, you know, probably a good outlet. But you poured, you didn't just sit there and say, you know, I've just got to sit here and worry. Rather that you poured out and you let creativity and love flow and blessing to other people during this time. And I think that that book, it just represents.
And I do want to say, and I wanted to let you talk, but just think about the book. The book is celebration book. It's the things you make when life's going great. Yeah. It's the things that you make when you want to partay. Yeah. It's the things you make when you want to say, like, I'm on top of the world. So she wasn't writing a book of like bread and soup, you know, like let's just get through the week book.
Right.
And so I just think it's beautiful because, you know, she was going through the, you know, the valley of death and she was making celebratory recipes for you guys. And I think that's just a very selfless perspective. And the pictures that you see in that book are when he was recovered. Yes. You know, the pictures were done at the end, just before we published.
Yes, literally.
So, you know, if you look in the book and you say, well, this guy looks like James Bond, well, that was the miracle of the Lord. And that was a full year afterwards.
Actually, it wasn't. The doctors were surprised how fast he convalesced.
But the pictures?
Oh,
the pictures?
But they weren't even a full year. Oh, wow. A full year will actually be in March of this year.
Wow. Yeah. Okay, so, you talk, Esther.
So actually, go figure, it's my 7-year anniversary today.
Oh, 7-year wedding.
Yep, 7 years. Oh, wow. So that's exciting. So we got married as two young 18-year-old kids who didn't know what they were doing, in all honesty, let's be honest. But, and it was wonderful. It was everything we, you know, we were happy. We were expecting to live a happy life together. I mean, we do, but I did not expect that 5 weeks after we got married, he would be diagnosed with cancer. And I think obviously it was a devastating blow. I don't think either one of, at least I know I fully didn't comprehend it. And I didn't until honestly, I feel like in the middle of it, because we had the first month or so, it was actually relatively easy. They said it was a cancer. It was Hodgkin's lymphoma. And they said, the doctors said, well, it's the best type to have because you grow slowly. It's not likely anyone really dies from it, et cetera, et cetera.
Treatable, they said.
It's very treatable.
They said it's treatable.
Yeah. So I was like, okay, I mean, maybe we can handle this. Unfortunately, that is not the way it happened. So we personally, this is just our choice. We opted for some natural treatments initially, as chemo is, it is a very hard drug. So they said
you got lots of time.
Yep. That's the other thing they did. So between lots of time, why not try the, you know, if we were already in a really bad stage, we would have just gone straight for the chemo, but we weren't. We were in stage one. So we like might as well. So we tried the natural treatments. They didn't work. They aggravated it. And he went from stage one to stage four in about a month. Literally.
And by natural, you're talking, you went to Mexico and got the very latest of treatments at those programs.
Yes.
It wasn't just you deciding to take something.
No.
You were under the care of cancer.
Yeah, we literally moved a month.
And not to say that those places don't work for some people. For some, they have.
Exactly. I'm just saying personally that we, as newlyweds, did move like for a month away from our home to Mexico. It was not just some sort of trying to pop supplements naturally home, like you said. Anyway, like I said, it didn't work for us personally. And it got really bad really fast. And then by August of 2016, we were diagnosed in March of 2016. By August of 2016, he was literally in the process of dying, and we went to Vanderbilt.
And he was skin and bone.
Yeah, he really was.
And the 6'5" overtaking his
literally.
Face and
I know that, you know, and I think the hardest people to watch this whole thing was the wife and the mother sitting here in this room.
I do want to say I have so much love and respect for this woman, not only because she's my daughter-in-law, but we have been through a lot together.
Yes, we have. There's no doubt about it.
We have wanted to get at each other's throats and hug each other and never let go at the same moment.
Yep.
Because, you know, our story was the two women that loved him the most.
Yeah.
And because he was 18, to me, I'm like, you know, 6 months ago, it'd be me staying there with the hospital. Yeah. But I had to let go because this is his wife. Yeah. And it was her place. And it was rightfully her place, but it was hard for me to let go.
I don't blame you.
You did do pretty well.
You did
well. I think she did pretty well.
And also, I mean, I can't imagine how hard it was to watch a completely useless person when it comes
you
to-
You were not.
No, but when it comes to health or knowledge or anything, you were
like, no, Esther,
light years ahead of me.
But Esther, I always said to her, and I believe it to this day, Esther, you know, and the story in the Bible was, you know, she was chosen for such a time as this. And I really believe that that's why God had you marry young, because I believe you were chosen to walk through. I think there's nothing like the love of your soulmate to give you confidence and courage. like a love of a mother is one thing and it's beautiful. I know that. But I really believe that you gave him an extra will to live.
And Serene, you know, you couldn't have stayed there 24 hours in the hospital like Esther did, sleeping by him.
I mean,
and
like, you did have like toilet. 10 kids at home. You know, but also like, you know, intimate and private stuff. That's a wife's job, you know, and I just feel like you were chosen for
but
such
can
a
I
time.
Talk about when you said it didn't work and you and Serena glossing over he was stage four and he was dying. Let me talk to you what that looked like from a auntie's perspective. He was dying. It was touch and go. I went and saw him in the hospital and there was no really Arden. You couldn't really see Arden left. It was only just skin and bones with these huge tumors that had taken over his face. You couldn't even see his features anymore. And, you know, and there was Esther just absolutely loving on him. And
she wouldn't leave his bedside.
Yeah.
You know, and we would be going to see Arden when we were worried for her because she wouldn't sleep. And she didn't sleep on the couch. She slept on his foot of his bed. Staring at the monitors. She didn't leave his side. There's not been one appointment that Arden has gone through that she hasn't gone. Even little appointments.
Yeah.
You know, I'll watch Greffy so that she can go because she's been by his side through this whole entire thing. Even to get the port out, which is so exciting.
Yes.
How many days you're going to get the port out?
March 7th.
Which means he doesn't need any more treatment because he's been a year and no growth's coming
back. Yeah, so
back.
This was supposed to be the...
She's going with him though.
That's so amazing.
She's going with him because she said, we've started this together. We're going to finish it together.
It's so amazing though. This has been years. It was supposed to be this little treatable...
Yep. 7 years later, it's finally
almost
over.
It was a different journey for you and Arden, wasn't it?
It definitely was, yeah.
And then talk about Gethsemane and why she's called Gethsemane and just, you know, because people will see her all through the book.
Yes, yes. And people will also wonder why she has such a unique name. Thank you, Danny. So needless to say, after the treatment was, initial treatment was over. So the biggest stuff was gone. Things were on the upside. We could start thinking even about having kids again. Even though in all fairness, we'd always wanted kids. We're both from large families. Having honeymoon baby was sort of our dream, which didn't happen in this case.
And but it was hard for you too because you live on the hilltop with bunny rabbits.
Yes, literally. Right. Everybody has babies. Has babies. Everyone's here. Pregnant. Every 5 minutes
Every five
it feels
minutes,
like.
Someone's pregnant.
I know. So
that's been a hard journey for you.
Yeah, it still is. I have to be honest. It's still not easy listening to pregnancy announcements and knowing I'm not... I don't know if I'll be there again.
I try to keep Lisa away from here because I'm concerned that she'll just spontaneously get pregnant.
Yeah, she'll drive up in the hilltop and she'll come back pregnant just somehow.
Bam! Sorry, you were saying.
No, you're good. So after all the treatment, obviously our chance of having children was lessened.
And they told you not to, too. They said with all these treatments...
Well, they didn't directly tell us, but not directly, but... They hinted at it enough. And in all fairness, I mean, when you're taking chemo, your risk of a child with mental complications is, and other and body complications, you know, just physical, everything complications is more of a risk simply because the drugs are so powerful. Mm. So we knew that. We also said, well, if God wants us to have it, we're going to have it whether we want it or not, so, and God will equip us. So let's just take the plunge. So I don't think there was ever a point where we actively weren't trying. There still is not a point where we're actively not trying. We just will accept whatever the Lord gives us. And many, many, many pregnancy tests I have taken that were all negative in the dead of night, in the dead of morning, all around the day. I took one for some random reason early because I never take my... I stopped taking them early a long time before January of 2018. I'd stopped taking them a long time ago because it was a bad idea. Hmm. Just don't take them early. You get too excited. Hmm. But this one I randomly took early and I don't know why. I guess it was just God. Hmm. And I took it and it was positive. And I don't think either one of us fully knew how to comprehend it because it had been... such a hope, such a dream. And then it was there, especially at the time we weren't expecting
this
had
been it. 3 years of 3 years, every month taking the pregnancy test.
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah.
And so it was I told Arden it was kind of funny because he honestly did not react at all. He was so much in shock. There was no reaction. I was like, seriously? You could have been more excited. Anyway, but
he was so, he used to go hunting and sit in the deer blinds and just cry out to the Lord for a child.
No. He definitely wanted, no. I think it was just literally that he was so much in shock. He didn't even know what to say. And this is not like him. You know him. He's very emotional. He's very expressive. He doesn't hide anything. So if he literally doesn't know what to say, that means there's a lot of shock. So... I knew from the beginning it'd be a little girl. God had told me before actually I got pregnant, someone else had a baby here. It was a little boy. And for some reason, I thought they were going to have a girl so strongly. And I just felt the voice of God tell me, I'm saving the girl for you. Aww. So this was before I got pregnant. Yeah. And then so after I got pregnant, I just knew it was a girl. And when we had our and you know, it was a wonderful pregnancy. It was really easy. I was blessed to have not a difficult pregnancy, not really bad morning sickness, pretty mild. So 20 weeks, we got our ultrasound. They told us it was a girl and we were really, really excited. Now, her name is a fascinating story because I've actually always loved the name Gethsemane. I've loved it as a teenager. When I hadn't, you know, no inkling of anything. But when we got, after we had gotten married and after the worst of it was over, we, of course, had thought about children's names and we both liked the name Gethsemane. And then after we got married, like, you know, after we went through everything, we realized it was even more fitting because Gethsemane was where the place Jesus felt the deepest grief, but also he was the most surrendered. So he felt God's love the most as well at the exact same time. Yeah. And that's really how we felt during our whole, during August 20th, 2016, it was our 6-month anniversary and we were admitted to the hospital. And that's when we had gone to Vanderbilt the first time. And I thought everything was going to implode. Literally. I thought my world would literally explode
that
you'd around
lose
me.
Your husband and any yeah. chance of having
yes.
children.
Yes. Like it was all over.
And if
just
he
in
lived,
one night,
there'd be no children.
Exactly.
Right?
So that was my Gethsemane moment.
Yeah.
Where, I mean, I had a lot of them working up to it. And I had them afterward, but this was probably the most pivotal one where I just thought everything's going up in smoke. Literally everything around me.
And just so you know, like she's moved to the hilltop. Her family lives in Canada. Yeah. And so, you know, even though we are trying to be around and support, she is not in with the people she's been familiar with her whole life at
right.
all.
We were pretty much strangers to each other in that way. Like yeah. deep and you know, right. we didn't have a super deep relationship. We had a wonderful relationship, but right. it wasn't deep yet because we'd never gone
yes,
through anything
and you're
yet.
More of a take time to get to know. Like yes. you're not one of those social butterflies.
No, I'm not a yeah. social. I'm very much an introvert.
I do have to say too, you know, this desire to, and Serene's talked to me about this, you know, this desire to have a baby of yours, mm-hmm. you know, she would say, Pearl, I think it's so strong too, and it's naturally strong, but so strong because you have never touched flesh of your flesh. I mean, you have a loving, loving parent.
Oh, yes.
And
they're
everything,
wonderful.
But you have never touched someone of your...
Who shares my DNA.
Who shares your DNA. And, you know, to have that now and carry that line, I'm sure it was just so precious.
It really was. It's a really special thing. I mean, as anyone adopted knows, it's you love your adopted family. They're everything yes. to you. You know, they've given everything up yes. for you 99.9% of the time. But you still lost something in order to gain it.
Mm. Yes.
And it was really, it's special to almost feel like I've got a piece of that back.
Yeah. Mm. I don't know why I'm
that
crying
makes
so
me
much
cry too.
Today.
I know I'm crying
just having
too.
A cry fest and I don't know why.
Yeah. We might be pregnant, girl.
we must be pregnant at 52. Oh,
anyway, literally.
Oh my goodness.
This whole subject is
yeah, it's a touchy subject, without a doubt. It's not it's not a light one.
Yeah.
But so back to Gethsemane, because that was the place of my Gethsemane where I had to literally pray. You know what I want, God. I don't want everything to explode on me, but not my will, but yours be done. And I will accept and be content and know that you love me, so I will be happy with whatever you choose. Mm-hmm. And that's what we want to name our daughter. Mm-hmm. But then there's her second name, which is Eliana. And Eliana means he's answered our prayers.
Yeah.
And so her two names are the complete... In two words, the story of our marriage.
Yeah,
it's not my will, but yours be done. Mm-hmm. And then he answered because he did. And yeah, not only did he answer with good health, like completely restored health, overly restored health, really.
Overly?
Yeah.
Arden looks like James Bond.
So much testosterone in him. Oh my gosh.
Arden looks like the healthiest person that was ever born on this world.
He really does.
He's leading these cold plunges. Like
nobody would guess he had a stem cell transplant less than a year ago.
It's like Job,
I would bet $1,000
he
wouldn't have.
When God restored Job, what Job lost, he restored it 7 times. And Arden's like 7 times.
Well, 70? Remember the prayer meetings that went on for him when he was in the throes of it. Mm-hmm. And all the little cousins, remember that, you know, cousins have cute prayers, right?
Yes, they do.
And their cousins repeat their prayers. Like, you know, like if cousins are at a birthday party, get it to do speeches, it's always like, you're my favorite cousin. The next one. you're my favorite cousin. It's like, it's not even possible. Anyway, so at all the cousins at the prayer meeting, Lord, make him better than before, stronger than before.
And it's true. And, really,
and they repeated that over and over. And they Lord has heard because he's better than before.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
What does that verse say? Asking, keep on asking.
Yeah.
Well, God got asked a lot.
Yes,
that Arden would be stronger than before.
Mm-hmm. And there's been a lot of prayer for your children. And so, I believe there's another one coming. I do believe. But Gethsemane is so special.
She really is. There's something special about her. And it's not just me as a mom, because I know I'm biased. I have the grace to know that I'm biased. But I will have, like, I've had countless random strangers come up to me and go, she is so beautiful. Like, she there's something is. Special about her that I think everyone really can sense.
My heart, like, I just see her and it just melts because she was so... Like when you're you guys announced that you were pregnant, you announced it in the middle of church, right?
It was amazing.
The worship was going, and you know, everyone looks at the screen with all the words of the worship songs. Well, in the middle of it, she had told a cellist who was running the music and the what do you call it, projector, to print out on the computer, you know, Arden and Esther expecting a baby, blah, 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 blah. Everybody in the middle of the height of the worship service got that message on the screen. Yeah. It's the most amazing way. It was Esther's idea. Everybody just blew into almost like cartwheels.
Yeah,
and
but
like,
we're all crying.
But nobody is, like, the struggle to get there, Esther, I know, was so deep in that Gethsemane moment you had to go through to get there. But as you've told me before, like, the you'll never take it for granted. Like, you have one, but the love that you have for this one, you're like, it's like, it's just so huge. You know, you appreciate it.
Yes, so much. And I think even just knowing the knowledge that I might only have one makes me appreciate even like the little things more in life. Yeah. Like the footprints on the sand, the fingerprints on the wall, you know, even the tantrums, she still sleeps in my bed and she's 3, but I might not have this again. So is it, I mean, some parents and whatever works for them, but I could rush her out of the bed, make her spank her, make her stay in her bed, say, nope, that's it. You're staying in this bed. That's it. No, you can't move. But, you know, we might not have this again. And it goes so fast, fast. And to me, it's not worth it.
I'm speaking.
Yeah. And I remember one day Serene came over to my house. She was driving. Arden had put up the play equipment.
Yes.
Right? You weren't pregnant.
No.
He put up play equipment in the yard.
Yeah.
Serene, you drove past and said, Pearl, I don't even have to pray anymore. My prayers have stopped. I just know they're going to have a baby.
Oh,
no, she's like, I don't know. You think I'm crazy? Like, I'm just saying faith stuff. No, Pearl, it's not faith stuff anymore. I just know.
There was this time of faith stuff. And I remember walking by your house. And I would speak that baby into being. I'm like, Lord, you know, like, and I would almost carry a stick sometimes, you know, and I would be doing like ninja movements in the air, like doing like warfare for this child, like, you know, any leftover side effects of the chemo, I break it in the day. And I would do this big slashing in the air with the stick, you know, but then it got to this point where it was like, oh, it's done. No, I'm so excited and it's done. And I just knew she was coming. And I have that very similar feeling right now. That you are going to have another.
Well, she keeps telling me she asked God for a baby sister.
Oh. Hey, you're listening to The Party with Serene and Pearl, and I'm Pearl, and who are you?
Serene.
This is The Party with Serene
and Pearl.
Get it right. It's P-O-D-D-Y. Hey, before we go, and it's time's going on of this whole cry fest thing. My eyes are still so red and we've got the video on. But I want to talk about specific recipes in your book, right?
Yes. I just have to pee too. I have this whole thing with tea. So
okay.
Be good people while I'm gone.
So what I love about you, Esther, is you are really on our Trim Healthy Mama groups. You're really active and you're there and you're right there when people talk about your recipes. And I think that everyone's just loving that because, you know, if they have a question, you're just there answering. So what has it felt like watching people make your specific recipes and them come to life?
It's really special. I love that. Things that I've enjoyed, and because a lot of the recipes are family favorites that I've trimified, I love other people getting to experience them, but experience them without the guilt and the worries of what it's doing to your body.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you know, a wonderful cake is great, but if it's the price of diabetes, it's not worth it.
That's so true.
Can we get a t-shirt, man?
Yeah, I know, right?
Cake is good, but diabetes sucks.
Exactly.
I know, right?
Anyway.
It's not worth it.
No. So that's why I love that they can enjoy it without the worries of negative health consequences. And then they can celebrate, and they can also feel like they're not missing out, specifically for the men. Because I feel like the women can almost adjust their taste buds, but men just don't know how
to. I know. That's what I've seen over and over. And I gave...
Know how to adjust their taste buds,
or other people that are not used to stevia sweetened cakes or gluten free cakes. So many people these people are baking their cakes for events or you know, for parties or for life celebrations, because that's what this book's about. And they're saying, and I gave it to, you know, my non THM family members, and they freaked out. And so that's what's happening with this, and that's what's exciting, because you know. I mean, we've had cakes, Serene, and, you know, our Trim Healthy Mama people love them.
Oh, yeah.
But not necessarily for everybody who's not used to it.
Right. They love them because they haven't been able to have cakes for a long time. Yeah. And they're like, wow, it's kind of sweet. Yay, party.
So do you have a favorite dessert in this book?
I have several favorites. Probably my top favorite chocolate one is the mocha torte. That is something my mother made for me as a child for birthdays. I requested it multiple times.
What chapter and verse do we find?
It's in the cheesecake and torte chapter. I don't know what page that is. I can help you find
it. But there's some things that people, of course,
I think
your cake is
Cheesecake-alonians, chapter 7.
Yeah, cheesecake-alonians.
Is that real?
No.
You know, so Esther is most famous for her Cake of Wonders. Esther's Cake of Wonders. And I do think that that's what I see made the most almost still.
I think so too. And I do love it. Beautiful. But after years of making it for the cafe, I need a break.
Yeah, you need a break.
Big break.
Yeah.
I mean, these are like cooking show.
Yeah, that's
level.
What it is. It's cooking show.
This isn't, you know.
There it is.
Oh, we're here?
Right there.
The mocha torte?
Yep. Yes. That's probably one of my favorite desserts.
And I do have to say, my precious daughter, Autumn,
yes. Worked
with us and took all these photos.
That poor girl amazing. Put aside her life. I'd be like, Autumn, can you come over like every single day you have free this week? She's like, sure. I was like, wow, you're amazing. Because, oh my goodness.
But you two have so much in common, because Autumn is like a hard worker, get stuff done, don't muck around, don't. And Esther, you were like, she would come back to me and she'd say, Esther's one of the hardest workers I've ever met. And it was like all praise, because Autumn likes that. Yeah. She doesn't like just dilly-dally.
Well, yeah, there's nothing like Esther or Autumn to get things done and get things done fast and quick and on point.
Because Autumn has to work with me on my recipes, and she's not as impressed as because I don't get things done.
So you guys are noting in the book, too, like when it's a crossover, how this sort of applies to the Trim Healthy Mama plan as well?
Yes.
Fantastic.
Most of them are S's, obviously, because it's a celebration book. There's like a couple E's in there, maybe, and there's a fuel pole in there. But because it is a dessert book, it's for celebration. It's not for restricting, in my opinion. Like, I mean, also, I don't know how you'd make an E creme brulee. I don't think it's possible.
No, I don't think
I literally don't think it's possible.
No, I think this is for, it's a different sort of book. Mm-hmm. It's for life's events. I mean, you know, you have it on your shelf because you are going to be celebrating moments.
And you won't bake from it every day. I know that. It won't be like the other books you guys have had out, but this will be great, because if you need a wonderful anything for any sort of occasion, because you can find anything, or a date night, even just a date night with you and your husband alone, you can bake from there, and you guys should both be, at least I hope you'll both be happy.
And if, you know, you have any teenage girls.
Yeah, they love this.
Yes, true.
Like, you know, because baking before heaven. I noticed, you know, my teenage girls would bring home friends and they would love to look through the dessert chapters of our books. But, you know, we're not as impressive as Esther, you know, and especially she has these how-tos, so you know it's not going to fail. Right. I hate it when all my ingredients, Trim Healthy ingredients, are getting used and then, not, you know, they've missed a step. But this is like very.
Yeah, every step is documented and there's pictures. But it was just Valentine's Day recently, right? The whole feed of our Trim Healthy Facebook group that day was pretty much pictures of cakes.
It was really special.
Book.
They did a great job.
It was pretty incredible,
We had such a good crowd of people.
And
they
I
all
can't
did
believe how
jobs.
Well they're turning out. I haven't seen a flop. Have you seen a flop?
There was one in particular whose husband did it. And it was incredible. Yes. I was like, oh my gosh, my husband couldn't do that.
All the ladies are shocked.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Like, it was an incredible cake. I was like, this is so beautiful. And a guy did it.
Yeah. You know why I chose you for daughter-in-law, right, Esther? So I don't have to bake for my husband. No, I'm just joking. She always comes to the door with her.
But I do remember when I first made a cake for you guys, and Dad loved it, and you were like, "Well, this is great."
Yeah, I know, I love it.
There's a part of me that's
it was actually
like,
the lemon cake in there.
No,
go
his
figure.
Favorite. Absolutely
Half of me
favorite.
Is thinking like we can do stuff too, and then I'm like, "No, we can't." You're right to be shocked that men are pulling off fancy dessert.
Yeah, but some of the best bakers are men.
It's they just are. my experience with Hilltop Men.
Yeah. Hilltop Men.
Well, Hilltop Men hunt.
Yes.
Bring home the meat.
Yeah, decorating cakes is not their forte.
Look at this Mike right here. He's sitting here as a Hilltop
guy. Yeah, but
guy.
He's
would
like
you make a cake,
trendy
Mike?
And
he said no. Would you hunt? He's not a hunter either, Mike.
No, but he's
not
good at
either.
IT stuff.
He's good at IT.
I can't shoot the baby deer.
No,
you're not supposed to shoot the baby deer.
My husband doesn't.
My husband
either.
Doesn't do that either.
I can't shoot any. They're all babies to me, is what I'm saying, though.
Those bucks are bigger than you, trust me.
Yeah, but they just, their little snouts. They just want water, is all. You ever see them? They're just like in full, like.
As a deer pants for the
yeah,
water.
You're
like quoting the scriptures.
They just like want to live and go back to their families, and they just like, where's the water? And they finally find it, and they just have the nerve to like.
Or they're just fighting
head.
Each other for male dominance.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah.
I mean, it's all, see, you got it. You got to have a view, right?
But you know, like, the meat that you find all packaged in the grocery store,
yeah.
Danny, one of those was just like a cow or a steer.
With a little snout.
He just wanted water.
He just says, and his little nose dripped.
But
and
in the end, we must eat.
And he was like, mama.
Oh my gosh.
And then,
bam!
How did we get here?
I don't know, but we're good. I think we're done. It was beautiful.
We're done because the cameras are powering off.
Oh, are they?
Thanks, Esther. We really appreciate
Thank you for having me.
I appreciate what you brought to us. And then I'll be true love in mama to stay.